Today, Russia condemned a U.S. military downing of a Syrian warplane, saying that it is now going to cut off its military hotline with us, and it's ready to shoot down U.S. warplanes flying over Syria. Peter Brooks is with us, Senior Fellow in National Security Affairs for the Heritage Foundation, to explain how dangerous this is becoming. Peter, great to have you on WILS.
Good to be with you.
Why do you think Russia reacted so strongly? It was a Syrian warplane we shot down. Why are they so upset?
Well, Syria and Russia are allied in this fight in Syria. Mm-hmm. And the Russians, not surprisingly, see this as an escalation, an act of aggression. I mean, U.S. forces haven't mixed it up too much with the Syrians.
Mm-hmm. What happened with that? We shot a plane down. Is that a new kind of policy for us to do that?
Well, the way the Pentagon is characterizing it is that it was an act of self-defense or collective self-defense, which means that the Syrian aircraft was targeting anti-ISIS coalition forces. And maybe the subtext here is that U.S. forces, special operations forces, could have been in the vicinity. We've had to warn Syrian ground forces in the past about getting too close or undertaking attacks against these forces that are focused not on the regime, but on ISIS. But clearly, the Bashar al-Assad regime in Russia see anybody as an enemy that doesn't support the regime itself.
Because the Syrian warplane was bombing forces that we viewed as friendly to us. But you're saying we could have had American troops there, really, essentially, and that's why.
I don't have any privileged information, but we know that American forces are advising and assisting these Syrian Democratic Forces, they're called the SDF, which are Syrian Arabs and Kurdish forces, in the assault on Raqqa. So I wouldn't be surprised if that were the case.
Is Russia bluffing here?
Well, I think they're doing some chest thumping, but you have to be careful. You have to read it very carefully. There's been a number of statements. Some of them don't all comport with the other, and they've talked about a geographic area which is not all of Syria, but what I saw was west of the Euphrates River, which is where Syria and Syrian and Russian forces are mainly operating.
Okay.
And I'm not sure that they said they're going to shoot anything down. I've seen words saying that they will track or follow. I've also seen some stuff a little bit more hostile. So what's really incumbent upon the Pentagon is to figure out exactly what Russia has in mind and try to communicate with them over this issue.
So do we fly west of the Euphrates, do you think? Do our warplanes go there?
I think on occasion we do. Okay. I mean, I don't have privilege of knowing where American airplanes fly every day. But, occasionally there are times when we have struck, like, al-Qaeda forces, in western Syria. And maybe some other targets that we've targeted, but not Syrian forces, other than if you want to consider the cruise missile attack against the airfield after the chemical weapons attack by the Bashar al-Assad regime against his own people.
Peter Brooks is with us here on WILS. He's with the Heritage Foundation. Are we heading, Peter, to a point where they may shoot one of our planes down?
It's certainly a possibility. When you put a lot of metal in the air, with a lot of opposing forces, certainly something can happen, whether it's intentional or mistaken.
If they do that, what would happen next, do you think?
I don't know. That's hard to say. I mean, it would depend on the circumstances. You can't. I mean, that's just too far into
could this turn into a war situation where we're shooting their planes down and they're trying to shoot us down?
Well, yeah. I mean, if this was an unprovoked attack on U.S. forces, I mean, there certainly could be, something along a punitive strike by American forces in response. Now, if somebody flies, is flying where they shouldn't be flying or something else. I mean, like I said, it's so circumstantial, it's hard to say. It would have to depend on what happened.
In this hotline, they want to cut off, they're suspending this U.S. or this military hotline with us. How big of a deal is that?
Well, they've done it before. They did it after the Syrian strike. They came back to it. Russia really doesn't want to fight with the United States. It's one thing the Russians fighting with their Syrian allies, the anti-regime forces, but they don't want to fight with the United States. Russia has air superiority over the anti-regime forces, but not against the United States. I don't think it wants that fight, but it's got to act tough. It wants to deter American action, wants the Americans to leave because they want to support Syria and make Syria whole again and a supporter of Russian interests in the Middle East. Mm-hmm. So Russia's into this big time. But the hotline. The other thing about hotlines are they're only good when somebody answers them. And if they do answer them, you may not like the answer you get. Mm-hmm. So, like I said, it's just like anything else in human nature. Any phone call to somebody else, you don't know how it's going to be received. And in many cases, these hotlines over history and different situations, sometimes the other side just doesn't even pick up the phone because they don't want to hear what you have to say.
Peter, we're there, what, to basically take out ISIS, right? That's the whole point of us being there?
Yes, that's our right. Current focus is not the Syrian regime, it's ISIS.
And does Russia have any interest in that too, you think, to take out ISIS?
Oh, sure, because okay. ISIS is also, well, this is the other day, remember, they said they killed the leader of ISIS, Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi. We don't have any evidence of that, but they make that claim. They entered the war in 2015 under the guise that they were coming in to fight the Islamic State because they have a serious Islamic State problem in their southern part of Russia in the Caucasus. But really they came in to rescue the regime, mm-hmm. and they've been basically fighting and bombing not ISIS but anti-regime forces. They may bomb some Al-Qaeda. I'm not quite sure of that. Mm-hmm. And we obviously have concerns about Al-Qaeda in Syria as well. But their main goal is to support and help the regime of Bashar al-Assad survive.
In the way it's shaping up now, is that going to likely be how things end up?
What do you mean? I'm not sure exactly what you mean.
Where the Assad regime will remain in place and essentially whatever happens to ISIS.
It's hard to say. Syria is far from resolved. When ISIS collapses or the caliphate collapses, what happens then? They become an insurgency. What fills that gap? The most effective militant force in Syria today is actually an Al-Qaeda offshoot. This is not over, unfortunately, because it's not over. But yes, the country could certainly be divided between East and West or North and South. It's not clear at this point.
In our presence there, how do you see that shaping up once ISIS goes down? What kind of role do you think we're going to be playing at that point?
It's not clear. That's something, in fact, I was telling somebody today that, everybody's talking about Mosul and then they talked about Raqqa. And the next place to talk about is Deir ez-Zor, which is where ISIS may make one of its last stands as a caliphate. Mm-hmm. But it's not quite clear. The United States is going to have to decide what it wants to do and what sort of outcome it wants to see in Syria and what mm-hmm. sort of resources it's willing to put towards that.
A lot of people want to see Bashar what?
A lot of people say that Bashar al-Assad would like to see him gone, but at what cost to the United States and others? Yeah. Or do people have the appetite for making that happen?
In your view, is that something worth really pursuing? Or?
Well, I mean, I certainly would like to see him gone. But of course, the United States depends on what sort of support they would get. And I'm not calling for large numbers of American ground troops on the ground in Syria. I don't know if we could actually resolve that situation, considering the number of militant groups, including any number of forces, other big powers such as Turkey, Iran, Hezbollah. I mean, it's really a snake pit. Yeah. So I'm not sure I would advocate that at this point.
If we were really to try to take Assad out, do you imagine Russia really considering going to war with us over that?
I'm not sure. That's a big question. And a lot of us think about what Barack Obama could have done in 2013 after the chemical weapons attack, the first major chemical weapons attack mm-hmm. by the Bashar al-Assad regime. What would have happened? What would have happened then? That was before the Russian intervention.
So you're saying at that point they may have not necessarily escalated it?
Yeah, no, I don't think they would have. No, not till after they became involved in 2 years ago in the fall of 2015. I think that was the game changer and changed the potential outcomes in Syria significantly.
Peter Brooks, Senior Fellow in National Security Affairs for the Heritage Foundation. It's Peter Brooks right here on 1320 WILS. Peter, great to have you. Thank you very much.
Thanks for having me.
Yep, six.